I'll spread your wings. Close your eyes. Let your love flow. Come inside. Spread your wings.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Less Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Less Visible.
Good evening, my friends. Welcome to another, yes, another 15 minutes of Dog Poet transmitting from the saucer pod through our satellite services and direct to your monitoring resonance, where you possess the necessary telepathic or otherwise able technology to receive what we are broadcasting. Lately, it's starting to look like Christmas at some spoiled rich kid's house. You open up these presents, and there's always one more. The problem is that you don't know what they are. Yeah, you feel like you should be able to recognize them, but you don't. What's this? Is this something from the future, or like really a long time ago in the past? This one says Made in Atlantis on it. And the last one said product of the Lemurian Sun Disk Corporation. It's got a big lidless eye on it that keeps winking, although like I said, it doesn't have a lid. On my way into the room, I saw one of those fire extinguisher setups that said, break glass in case of central bank infestation. The label on my mattress, which I'm not supposed to remove under penalty of law, and which I promptly cut off with a pair of scissors, has an announcement that says the mattress has been treated for Warburg parasites, which is some kind of super bed bug that makes it impossible to sleep. Now, where was I? Oh, yeah. I wasn't anywhere. I was here, and here is nowhere, and it's been nowhere for a long time. Now, nowhere is not all that bad. Nothing ever happens in nowhere. Things only happen somewhere, so maybe being somewhere is not such a good idea, given that most of what has been happening has not been the best thing since sliced bread. And I'm not so sure sliced bread was such a good idea. You don't see that much sliced bread in Europe. They do have it, but it's the kind of bread they remove everything from so that the vermins don't eat it, and then they put everything back in once they... so that the vermins can eat it again. It depends on what you call vermin. These days, the vermin eat everything, and most of it gets served to you in a pink slime tempura batter. So how do you like those mountain oysters, McNuggets? Yes, people, we're living in season 5 of Breaking Bad. I'll have the blue meth cheeseburger with deep-fried armadillo lung fries. I appear to be in a humorous mood. That's how it was over at Smoking Mirrors this morning, and it continues apace. So many things have happened to me in such a short space of time recently that I'm almost afraid to get up in the morning anymore. All of it's uniformly good, but even good can be scary, especially when it's accompanied by a voiceover. At least it doesn't sound like Patrick Willis. That would really freak me out. I'm just kidding. My consort is so afraid of the idea of the two of us together. We're supposed to meet up at some point shortly, that she keeps mentioning it in one of those woo-woo voices. I think she thinks the chemistry might breed some new life form. I'm all for that. Seriously, she likes him, but so many supernatural events keep happening that I'm no longer the only one being shaken, not stirred. To make matters worse, or so very, very much better, I keep being told that I haven't seen anything yet, and that I have no idea. When I was very young and used to read the Bible a lot, there were some number of pieces from the Old and New Testament that stayed with me across the years, from then until now. Sometimes I get the chapter and verse numbers wrong, as I did with this particular quote in the Last Visible Origami, but I can well remember the quote itself. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that there will not be room enough to store it in. As I remember from long ago, it used to say, pour out a blessing upon you too big for you to receive. It seems that they've been busy changing a lot of things in the Bible to accommodate the agenda of those who have been perverting it across the centuries. They seem to be especially concerned with the more mystical and revelatory statements. One in particular has been bent, folded, and mutilated until you can't find what I used to see in any presently available version. I put the quote on my 9/11 was an inside job CD just to keep it in circulation. It goes something like this. Be ye not deceived. Even the devil is turned into an angel of light at the given moment. The be not deceived portion might be at the end instead of the beginning, but that doesn't change anything. The meaning of this should be clear to anyone. It means that the devil works for the divine. He's an employee. In the Western mystery system, where I have studied for many years, and probably not just in this life, there's a particular description given about a similar construct where, should you see the devil, or think you do, you should observe the corona of light around the form. This indicates the angel that is hidden behind the deceptive form that you think you see, and which you only see because you are deceived about what is actually there or actually so. I've come across any number of beautiful faith-affirming statements in this life. I used to have a little framed picture that hung over my bed as a child, which said, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. I don't know why that has followed me around for so long. I've yet to understand what it means. I could understand something like, I will head for the hills because I don't know where to go for help. I mean, that would make sense. Here's one of my favorite quotes from all time, or of all time, from Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. There is a road, steep and thorny, beset with perils of every kind, but yet a road, and it leads to the very heart of the universe. I can tell you how to find those who will show you the secret gateway that opens inward only and closes fast behind the neophyte forevermore. There is no danger that dauntless courage cannot conquer. There is no trial that spotless purity cannot pass through. There is no difficulty that strong intellect cannot surmount. For those who win onwards, there is reward past all telling, the power to bless and save humanity. For those who fail, there are other lives in which success may come. That sounds a little ominous as far as the failure portion of the comment goes. It's a little like this one from Paramahansa Yogananda. If you don't look for God in the springtime of your life, it won't be there in the winter. Now this I can say I did, and I hope it counts in my favor. I remember staying in a little 16-foot teepee up on Wittenberg Mountain years ago, about 8 miles outside of Woodstock, New York. It was the middle of winter and used to snow pretty deep at the right time of year. Just to get where my teepee was, you had to hike about 3 miles uphill into the forest. It was nicely set up inside with a wooden platform and had a fire pit with a grill and lots of rugs and sheepskins. The snow was already deep, and it was snowing very hard during this period I'm talking about. During this one period, I was there for some days without leaving or coming back into town and returning, however it goes. And I remember the amazing tranquility, isolation, and silence of that time, I doubt I was ever happier in my life. I think now that I should have stayed there and lived there all the way until now. I could have done it. I could have owned that land and found any number of simple ways to sustain myself, but I didn't do that. I remember being at the Guru Baba Fellowship on Overbrook Avenue, a suburb of Philadelphia. Actually, at the time, I was in my apartment near Leoff's drugstore in Delhi, and all my close associates had been drawn down to Philly to live with Baba. They're all still there. All the best people from Woodstock had gone, and it changed the town, as I sometimes and occasionally near bitterly recall. I remember standing there in my living room and staring into unseen space, reflecting on how I could go in either way of two directions from that point, and saying to myself, you know, I think I have to rock and roll. I went to Michael Green, who had always been in love with my girlfriend Sally, and I handed him two wedding rings, which I had bought at a flea market earlier, weeks ago, for a song, compared to what they were worth, and I said, you marry her. Not long after that, I was gone, while having acquired yet another girlfriend, which turned into a star-crossed love affair. It was a bad move on my part, making the decision I did, but maybe I had no choice. That is entirely possible. I don't spend a lot of time on Regret Avenue. For some reason, I have near zero guilt about anything, and whichever way I could have gone, yeah, I feel pretty good, even if it is sometimes very boring where I am now. Boring can sometimes be a lot more desirable than exciting, depending on the type of excitement. It surely is an odd time. A reader just chimed in to let me know that a blogger named Mr. Nobody, whom I link in my blog roll and have for years, is trashing me right and left on his blog, where I send him a great deal of traffic. According to him, I don't attack the Satanists enough, and I get high, which is a no-no for Mr. Nobody, and he's got a laundry list of reasons for why I'm a no-good-nick. Odd, huh? So I'm going to grant him a boon, which I think he's too shy to ask for, and grant him independence from association with me. People are really being turned in all sorts of directions. As I have pointed out over recent years, there's going to be all kinds of outrageous acting out going on, and we have just arrived in that time. Jason Russell of Coney 2012 was just apprehended naked in the public streets, masturbating. He was talking about wanting 9 more children with his wife sometime earlier, and so, as I mentioned in Smoking Mirrors today, maybe he was just rehearsing for that. But it is amazing the kind of things that are suddenly happening at such a high rate of occurrence, and that is why I'm bringing it up, because my sense is that it is really going to accelerate shortly until it is commonplace, amplified, and truly in your face. I get this very eerie sense of the things that lie ahead, and I see seriously humorous and tragic events playing ping-pong across the television screen of our collective viewing experience. I think it's going to be uproarious and outrageous. I guess the reason I'm mentioning this is that I'm expecting something really different than what has been predicted and what is being expected by the majority of people I hear from each day or read each day. When I make my rounds of the oracles and information fonts that are my usual ports of debarkation on the wide and vast seas of the internet. I'm getting so many flashes of things to come. I can't see anything. I can't interpret it. But I feel good. I shouldn't feel so good, given the terrifying implications of our daily headline news and, well, the runaway psychopathy of the evildoers, seemingly unstoppable or reachable, rampant on a field of blood and tears and pain. So, regardless of my inability to translate the information that descends upon me from other planes, I feel confident and untroubled about the future, whatever it may be. I don't know if the sensations I'm feeling are shared by others, but I put them out there just in case that is the case. What does it all mean? I don't know. I know that something massive and world-changing is on the way, and it's going to affect every single one of us and leave every single one of us changed beyond what we may be expecting. It remains to be seen, and it will be seen, and sooner than we think. Well, all right, my friends. We've come to the end of still yet another broadcast. On and on it goes, and where it stops, only the shadow and the ineffable knows. And I ain't neither one, but working on it. Not the shadow thing, though. I'll see you next week if there is one. I expect there will be, but you never know. In the time betwixt, I wish you all the very best and accompany those wishes with the hopeful prayer that you be surrounded and suffused in the protective love of the everlasting divine. That said, yes, that said, Hare Krishna, Aloha, and Haru!
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.